It's Friday, October 14th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Welcome to the show, everyone.
This is the Geek News Central podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central podcast.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the show. I am Todd Cochran, your host. And of course, you are listening to the Geek News Central podcast. And for all of you that are long-term subscribers, thanks for staying subscribed and being part of our Ohana or being part of our family here. We're glad that you're with us. And for all of you that are new and listening to the show for the first time, or maybe have tuned in for a couple of times, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. And of course, subscribe to our newsletter. And I know that some of you have actually said, hey, we like the text-only version of the newsletter. It's coming through much more readable and easier to navigate. We're going to be keep on sending it that way. I think so far we've had a greater response to the newsletter than we've ever seen than when we send the nice graphical one out that sometimes messes up in some of your browsers and email clients. So we're going to just continue to send it the way we have been. And it's actually almost easier for me to send it that way than the other way. But I hope everyone's had a great week. Thank goodness it's Friday. Very short week. You know, I only had a 4-day work week, and I had two major events that happened at my place of employment. And along with everything else that's going on, I'm like, it's Friday already? Where did the week go? And there really was no week. It was just simply amazing. And I've got, I'm not kidding you, I've opened up my task. Of course, I have my Outlook set up to send me notes when tasks are due or overdue. And I hate to say it, I've got like 20 tasks that are overdue. Personally, you know, there are tasks that I have personally set to be finished with, and it's not good. So I have to really hamper down over the next couple of days and get those knocked out. But I, you know, how was everyone else's week? I hope your guys' week was good. Lots of stuff going on in the tech world. Of course, some major announcements by Apple, along with a lot of other good stuff, some stuff in the science news. We've got some cool links to some awesome stuff from NASA that we're going to talk about later, but all kinds of great stuff. Now, just on the podcasting front, I've been working steadily towards being ready to rock and roll at Podcast Expo for the Podcast Awards, and I've got the trophies are supposed to be done here in the next couple of days. The microphones that we're going to be giving out to our grand prize winners are ordered. I've been working with some photographers that are going to be, you know, some people are going to be volunteering to do pictures. I've got all kinds of stuff going on. Talked with Tim over at the expo, and him and I have kind of settled up on the agenda. It looks like we're going to have plenty of time to give out all the awards and recognize those winners. So, and we're going to have food, and we're going to actually have a bar there. So for those of you that are going to be at the expo, you are going to be able to partake in that. And we're participating in putting in some money on the food costs. So come and have some eats on the geek here, and actually on my primary company, Podcast Connect. Now, one thing that we are going to be doing, and we do have a little bit of a concern, is I'm teaming up with Rob Greenlee to do a live streaming event for the Podcast Awards ceremony. Matter of fact, we plan on starting streaming at about 5 p.m. We're probably going to be streaming part of the day during the expo, but we're going to have a couple of events that we're going to stream specifically for you. But our goal is to have a live stream during the awards ceremony up for everyone to listen to that can't come to the expo. And for those of you that are listeners that want to hear, probably we're going to give Adam Curry some time to talk, and we're going to give Leo Laporte some time to speak. And if we have time, you know, we'll probably do some interviews, because directly following the award ceremony, it's going to last an hour, is the Dawn and Drew Appreciation Night. And it's in the same room. So it's just going to be one continuous party. It'll continue on over. And we plan on continuing to stream, and we'll be talking with people and podcasters. if you're going to be there and you want to be put in the lineup to talk to us or talk to the community, let us know, because we'll probably have a table set up where you can sit down and chat. Now, our only concern is connectivity at the Marriott. So if any of you are going to the expo and you have a EVDO card from Verizon, or you have some sort of a wireless access that we haven't found out for sure how the hotel's wired up, where we're going to be at. So we're looking for some alternatives to make sure that the stream is good. We don't need a lot of bandwidth up. We need 23, 24, maybe 30K maximum uplink to get the stream up so that you guys can hear it in good enough quality. So if you're going to be there, and if you have a wireless connection, and if the hotel doesn't come through, let us know. We might want to use you for a couple of hours, okay? Also, what I'm looking for also is, if any of you are listening, work in advertising. I really need an advertising expert. I need someone to do outside media buys for me. I really, really need that. So if any of you are involved in that industry, please send me an email. We need to work with you in a variety of ways and on some variety different of initiatives I've got going. I've got a bunch of emails out to some companies, and actually some stuff coming back that on some of the new stuff that we're working on. And I really do need a advertising marketing type person, not for just this show, but not even for this show. It's for other shows that we're working with, and of course, the Podcaster News Network. But, you know, I've got a lineup of people that I can hook you up with if you're that type of person, and you can run forth and do some business for us. Also, Rob Greenlee and I on Tuesday, and Rob's from, he does a show over at webtalkradio.com. We had the opportunity over the past month and a half to do some consulting for Countrywide Financial. And it was basically what Countrywide is going to be doing is they are getting on the podcasting bandwagon, and they're going to have their employees internally doing podcasts, talk about things that are going on in the company, stuff that needs to be improved. So most of the content is going to be internally consumed and not for outside public consumption. But I was told that they are going to have some content that is going to be made available to the public, and it's because they're a banking institution. They have to be careful on some of those things, but there will be some podcasts that will be available. If I find out when and where that's going to be available, I'll let you know for sure. But it was a pleasure working with the Countrywide folks, and we had a great training session. And I just, it was a pleasure to do that. And if you're looking for some help on your podcast, make sure you drop me an email at geeknews@gmail.com. I try to help out all the podcasters when I can, and obviously in any way that I can. But for tonight, let's make sure we save you some money, okay? Did you know that you can build a website in minutes at GoDaddy.com? You can with Website Tonight. Just pick a website template and your own text and graphics. That's it. Each Website Tonight account includes secure hosting, a free email account, and much more. It's a complete solution to create your very own website. And as a special offer, you can take an additional $5 off any order of $30 or more if you enter the code GEEK4, that's G-E-E-K, and the number 4 when you check out. Thanks for GoDaddy for being a sponsor here at Geek News Central. Okay, on Saturday, October 15th, which is just one day away, we're going to be having our live event with the tech over at techpodcast.com. I got some great lineup, and I want to thank everyone. Every one of you that sent me links to web apps, and someone actually sent me a link tonight to an actual a Digger thread that talked about all kinds of cool web apps. Thank you so much for sending me those, and almost too much to actually go through. But we will be covering some of those, and what I'm actually going to do is those web apps that didn't make the cut for the actual GoToMeeting event over at techpodcast.com, I'm going to make up a big list and put them up in the show notes over at techpodcast.com after the show. So thanks for those links. We really do appreciate it. Again, Saturday, October 15th at 1:30 p.m., visit techpodcast.com for info on how to get hooked up. And obviously, that is an event that's sponsored by GoToMeeting. And here's a little info on GoToMeeting. Hey folks, you've got to check out GoToMeeting. Why? Because you can hold meetings right over the net from anywhere. Plus, you can hold all the meetings you want for one flat rate. Try it free for 30 days. No, you don't need a credit card to get started. Just visit gotomeeting.com/tech roundtable. That's gotomeeting.com/tech roundtable to get your free trial now. Okay, I have a few listener emails to go over. And again, I'm not going to go over all those web apps. I do thank everyone for sending those in. And I do thank everyone for continuing to send in your top five RSS feeds. And I think next week we're going to put a halt to that and actually publish those for you so that you get an idea what people are subscribed to here that are listening to the show. Just to go over a few of the emails that were on general comments, I got an email from Greg, and this is in reference to the Wall Street Journal discussion we've had here a couple of weeks ago on the show. He says that I agree that a $20 increase in Wall Street Journal annual online subscription fee is huge, and that your comment is accurate about newspaper readerships dropping. But while few people are reading the paper form of the newspaper, they still want the news. It costs money to gather and distribute the news. Meanwhile, maybe these costs can be covered by advertising. Maybe they can't. Each news outlet has to balance their own books and generate a profit. Now, I do agree with that, Greg, and I think the key to this whole evolution in media and revolution of media is that at some point, you know, there's going to be this pendulum that's going to swing, and it's going to swing really hard, and it concerns me a little bit. So let's say tomorrow the New York Times can no longer afford to go out and just find, you know, pay reporters to go out and dig up stories and create new news. Let's say that firms like CNET or, you know, all these different types of news gathering firms, whether it be tech or regular news, all of a sudden the bloggers are, because bloggers are a lot of times repackaging, and that's what I do here on this show is I talk about articles that I find on major news sites, and I talk about articles that I find on people's blogs. So what happens if those news sources go away, they go bankrupt, their model is gone? Is that going to force then that the personal people like me are going to have to go out and do more research and become a true reporter in a sense and digging up our own articles? So I think that the major news services will always be here, and I think that there's always going to be a great mix of regular news and podcasters, bloggers, video bloggers, whatever it may be. There'll be a nice mix in the medium, and there'll be kind of a checks and balances that's going to happen, and it's already happening. You know, bloggers are calling out major news stories when they've made a blunder, and they've actually caused certain issues to raise in the national level so that they've actually been exposed and that they are actually carried on national news stories. So I think they'll work together, but I still think that the model of charging a subscription for an online content is not good. They're going to have to learn a different way to do that. And, you know, if it's through on-site advertising, whatever it may be, there has to be a better model, but I understand they have to make money. And each company has to weigh their own. Just like you said, they have to kind of weigh their own books. Now, I did get an email from Simon. He said he really loves the show, and he's been on holiday for a few weeks. He had bought a Nano on the way back and installed iTunes and immediately subscribed to the show and downloaded the shows he'd missed. He says the Nano is pretty cool, and the automatic updates of the podcast and iTunes is a step above manually downloading them onto his PDA, which is how he used to listen. So it's nice to see that some of you are enjoying the iTunes iPod combination, but I will caution you, if you go to iTunes version 6.0, it's broke for podcasting. You can't even get to the directories. The sublistings are broke right now, so be real careful in upgrading to 6.0, even though the video, you know, obviously Apple announced their new video iPod, which we'll talk about a little bit more later, but that is, you know, that's an issue with 6.0 right now. And stay with 5 at the current time. I want to thank Rebecca for her comments, and I'll just share a couple of things that she said in her email. She says, iTunes and MP3s. I hate to admit it, but I don't like iTunes. I'm old school and love to actually purchase CDs. I realize I'm still in the minority, but so be it. I rip my CDs to MP3 for listening on the PC. She uses an external hard drive to then allows them to play around her iBooks. And yet she has the original CD for her car. So she does like the still buying CDs, and she doesn't like the DRM part of the equation when it comes to dealing with music you're buying with iTunes. I agree that I don't like the DRM portion either, Rebecca, but I don't like buying CDs where I'm only getting one or two songs on the entire CD that I like. But so far as the rest of the comments go in your email, I do appreciate those. It is much appreciated. I always get a smile on my face when I get emails from new podcasters. I got an email from Brian. He says, "Hey, just wanted to say I've been a long-time listener, and you've been an inspiration to me, so I started my own podcast. Did my first one last night, and it came out all right from my first stab at it. Just want to say thanks. I mentioned you and your podcast in the show. If you have 14 minutes to spare, you can check it out at www.objectibus.com. Objectibus.com. I'll put that in the show notes tonight. Congratulations, Brian, on your first podcast, and I look forward to checking it out. All right, got a lot of content for you tonight, and I had a whole bunch of emails there for web apps and stuff. Again, I greatly appreciate that from everyone, from Tom, from Tim, from who else? Simon, John, two Johns sent information. Thanks so much. We really do appreciate it. And if I miss somebody, I deeply apologize. Okay, over on regular show notes tonight, hey, I saw tonight the most it's a great commercial, okay? There will be a link in the show notes tonight to a Guinness commercial, and you just have to watch it. It is one of the most amazing commercials I have seen in a long time. Now, obviously, a lot of graphics is done to make this. I don't know who thought this up, but it starts out with three guys at a bar taking a sip of Guinness, and then it takes you back in time. So that's all I'm going to say about it. The link has been making its rounds on the net, and a completely original commercial, and it's got a kicker at the end that I think you'll get a good laugh out of. So check that out in the show notes. It'll be one of the first links, obviously, in the comment section. Here's a little tip for those of you that are Windows users. How many of you have a Wi-Fi device in your computer, but you usually just plug into a LAN cable when you're at your desk? Maybe you've got Wi-Fi in your house. How many of you had your Wi-Fi adapter enabled and the computer automatically picks that up first and uses that for your internet connection versus when you're plugged into your LAN connector? And now I found that out because, I have the Wi-Fi going here in the house. The wife uses it on another area in another part of the house for some work she does. And yet I don't want the Wi-Fi going on the PC. I don't want it running here when I'm in the office. I just plug in directly. So I have to disable the Wi-Fi card. And I always thought, how come that Wi-Fi adapter always picks this up? I had to laugh because this has been in the back of my brain, and I really hadn't taken the 5 minutes to really go look and to figure it out. But someone answered it for me on the internet today, and I'll put the link up in the show notes. And it's really simple. It's underneath the advanced settings in the network connection window. And if you go right there, it says, oh, right there it is. So put this link up in the show notes. You guys that have had that problem before, check it out. And you can determine which network device is first in the queue, which one it'll pick up first. Now, with the announcement by Apple with their new video iPod, and I guess there was people that were on and off again on that prediction. And, of course, that's made the major news, and I'm sure you're all aware of it and have seen it. And it looks pretty cool, and it's got a little bigger screen. But there's been all kinds of discussion about the implications of it, and I'm going to talk about two or three different articles tonight. I've got these spread out in my Feed Demon feed here, so I may not cover them all at once. But over on Mark Cuban's website, it's at blogmaverick.com, he has an article on how Bob Iger has saved network TV through this deal that he has made with Apple. So on the Apple iTunes store, you can now buy the latest episodes of Lost and some of the other shows basically the day after they're on network TV and for $1.99, okay? Some of you are big Lost fans. Lost is recorded here in Hawaii, and I hate to admit it, I've never watched it. So some of you are going to say shame on you, but I've never watched the show once. But Here's the skinny on that. Here's the community's perception of what's going to happen. All right. Number one, you're going to get a commercial-free airing of the program. You're not paying for any syndication, right? Now ABC is basically going to give that program to Apple to sell for $1.99, and the advertisers aren't going to get their cuts if they have been advertising on the show within the network. The syndicators, the licensing fees get all bypassed. There's all kinds of economic changes that could happen here. And Mark has a great write-up on how this could change the complete economic model for primetime network TV. Now, I've always said for a long time that there's big change in the air in the distribution method of TV. We're probably all going to be getting our whatever we want to watch via the internet over time. Now, I'm not saying the Apple iPod is the optimum way to watch a episode of Lost or to watch a music video, but it is intriguing for those of you that maybe want to watch it during your lunch hour that you may have missed it the night before because your kids or something had you busy. That might be a cool way to do it. But there is going to be some very dynamic changes coming in the future. And not only will this change the way the regular media people distribute content, but now you're going to have video bloggers. You're going to have podcasters who are going to make video content. You're going to have all these dynamics of new and more exciting distribution. Now, doing video is much, much harder than here I am sitting in my office tonight in a pair of gym shorts. I have a plain Jane white t-shirt on. My desk is destroyed. I mean, it is destroyed. I've got paperwork stacked and CDs, and you just name it. It's a mess, okay? I'm ashamed to actually sit and to tell you that. But can I do a video like this? Well, maybe you guys will get a kick out of my office, but you're not going to watch a video of me talking. You're boring, right? You're going to want me to do something else. You're going to want me to, you know, be walking around and doing something that, you know, that you can be entertained with. You know, doing video is a much, much harder thing. But there's a lot of people out there that are creative to do that. So it's not only going to expand how people can distribute news. You can subscribe to, you'll be able to do a mini video blog where people are going to be able to upload and get this straight into their iPod via an RSS feed. Now, the only component that's really missing is if the iPod needs to become wireless. This thing needs to be, now, I don't want one of these stupid Roker Motorola phones, but I want an iPod that's got Wi-Fi built into it. So when I walk by a Wi-Fi hotspot, it will download anything that's on a new RSS feed that may be video, stuff that's going on, late breaking news, anything that you know, that I want in the video format. So we will see what happens here, but this is just the beginning. It's, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of products out there, the PSP that will do video. So it's not the only product that's changing this dynamic, but because Apple has broken the mold with the network people where they're actually getting legally, you can pay $1.99 for an episode of Lost. Pretty cool, yeah? We'll see how big of a splash it makes, but it's just an ongoing evolution of what's going to happen in the marketplace. With that, you know, they have set a bar that it's going to be really, really hard to meet, right, by other media venues. So we'll see what happens, okay? Now, along with that, everyone's complaining that Apple did not allow DivX, that's a file format for video. It doesn't support DivX. Now, why is that? Why was that a master ploy by Apple? Well, they basically have said, hey, no, it won't play DivX, but it will play QuickTime videos. And, you know, if they get it off a torrent feed and it's in a QuickTime format or whatever the Apple's going to support, sure, they could play it on the iPod. Now, you mark my words, and I'm going to agree with what is being said at Engadget. I believe that you're going to see a mass proliferation of videos that will be available via torrent on the net, specifically for the iPod, be it legal or illegal content, okay? So, another good article, so I'm going to go ahead and link this up in the ramifications of what they have done and not supporting DivX. They basically have said you're going to have to do that. And of course, QuickTime Pro comes with H.264 as the encoding mechanism. So that's what the iPod's going to support. So check it out. Okay, see what happens. Now, I sat next to a lady at the award ceremony when I was given the award here in Hawaii. The was a high-tech award. And she was from a company called Clearwire. She was a marketing person from Clearwire. And actually, I've got to follow up with her. I got a voicemail on my cell phone to call her back. But in the news today, I see that Clearwire has signed a deal with Best Buy where they're going to offer Clearwire wireless broadband for their customers. And they go in there and they buy a computer, whatever it may be. They go home, they plug it in, but boom, they're right up on wireless with Clearwire. Great ploy, okay? Great marketing ploy. And I'm going to be real curious to see what they do with this market. The good news is Clearwire's here in Hawaii, but they're not widely deployed yet. They're only in small areas. Okay, those of you that are Sony PSP users, firmware version 2.5 is out, so I am sure that some of you are not going to want to upgrade because you probably have a modified version of the PSP firmware out there, but it is on the street, and this is obviously a attempt by Sony to prevent you from being able to hack your PSP, but the new upgrade does support location-free TV playback, so there's some updates on what is actually available with this update online. It'll be within the show notes, so you can check that out. There's a gentleman that's getting ready to do a book on blogging, basically the history of blogging, and he's talking about a little bit about it in some of his postings on his website. He's not going to cover everything in there, but I'll link up to that for those of you that are interested in the history of blogging. Okay, those of you that have a Windows XP Media Center Edition version 2005 at home, there is a update for that, okay? I'll put the link up in the show notes to the link at Microsoft. I've actually need to do the roll up on my laptop here because it is a Media Center Edition PC, even though I'm not using the Media Center Edition portions of it, but there is an update. This next article should strike a nerve in many of you. I know it does with me. I used to do a lot of traveling. This year I haven't traveled as much. Matter of fact, I've traveled very little as compared to like the last 10 years, is in a benchmark. And I know that because I'm starting to lose some of my gold and platinum statuses with the airline. So, because I haven't been flying that much. But there's an article out basically in the New York Times and in the Wall Street Journal that talks about hotel internet fees. And I know that there's been many, many times I've traveled, I've gotten a hotel, they said they've got Wi-Fi access, and of course, I learned over time to make sure to see if that Wi-Fi access was free or not. So this is the contention of the article. It talks about how bigger hotels, the bigger the hotel is, the more expensive it is to stay at, is usually the more expensive the Wi-Fi or the internet access. And some hotels are charging as much as $33 a night for high-speed access, and it's more prevalent in Europe than it is in the United States because most of the hotels in the United States have started to figure it out. Oh, we better not charge for it. It's a commodity. It helps bring people in the door, but it's this big issue on why are people still charging for internet access in hotels, and there's this big disparity between who offers free and who doesn't. So I think it's a great article, and I very highly recommend for all of you when you're traveling and you want to stay in a place that has internet access, make sure you check and see if you have to pay for it. Because there's nothing worse than getting in a hotel where you're going to have to stay for 10 days and they want $9.95 a day for broadband access. Maybe $9.95 for 10 days, but $9.95 a day, I'm sorry. That is price gouging and highway robbery. There's an article over on techcrunch.com that is talking about how memorandum is changing the web. And we've talked about memorandum a couple of times already, primarily tech.memorandum. And there has been, I admit, I am going over to this site on a daily basis, 5 to 10 times. And it's what it's allowing me to do is find out what's hot in the news right now. Now, I have found, though, that it can become kind of scope locked. But TechCrunch talks about the power of the site, how it's changing the way people that are bloggers are actually finding out what's going on in the net right now. Now, I'm not using that as my only source, and I'm still using, I have about a short list of, there's 35 short list feeds that I read on a continual basis during the day that I update on, and many times the articles will show up there or show up in other sites before it does in Mendorandum, but not very often. It's catching most of the stuff, and if you look deep into Mendorandum, you can see what's hot and what's not. So great review, great discussion about how Mendorandum is changing the way people are really getting the news, and I highly recommend that site for all of you that like to stay on top of what's going on in tech, especially if you're, you know, I put it in my RSS aggregator to update essentially like every 15 minutes, and it's done a great job. Now, Doc Searles has an article up, and this is not so much, it's kind of him venting, and it's a venting about broadband access, and I think it's very, very poignant article in that, okay, here in Hawaii, I'm stuck with one broadband provider where I live. I can't get DSL because of my location. So I have to use Roadrunner. I have a business account with them. They do not allow me with that business account to have a static IP, but they do allow me to have a server on that line, but they don't guarantee me any faster up or download speeds than what a normal cable provider, a normal customer gets here in Hawaii. So I'm really, you know, it's really not that much of an advantage, only that I can legally run a server, and they don't block ports here anyway. But Doc Searles in, I believe he's in California, he has Cox as his provider, and he has a business account with them, and he just goes into this whole iteration of what they allow, what they don't allow, and just the pure stupidity of Cox and other companies and not taking advantage of people like me who have small businesses in our homes who need the high push speed. I want a high uplink speed as well as a download speed. And I'm willing to pay the extra dollars for it. Not a lot of extra dollars, but I'm willing to pay more. And he goes through the whole process in the pricing and just how it doesn't make sense. I think this is a great article to show you how those in the broadband business are totally missing the boat, and you know, they're so much in their little world. I'll be honest with you, if I could get DSL here, I would have DSL business in my home for here in Hawaii, but I'm just too far from the switch and I can't get it. So I guess I'll have to move. No, I'm not moving anytime soon. Today, the feds cracked down a CD piracy operation, and they're quoting, they're saying it is the biggest bust ever, like $3.2 million worth of CDs that they have captured. We got five people in jail. They were basically copying Symantec products and what else? It looks like PC Anywhere, Adobe Photoshop, CS were among the 325,000 CDs that were seized. Now, 325,000 CDs, if I do the math, if you know, Adobe Photoshop, what's that run? $400 for a new copy of that? You know, even a small portion of those were Adobe Photoshop, and even at $40 a pop for like Norton Antivirus, that's more than 3.2 million. I guess we'll see what they've came up with. They'll come up with what kind of number. You know, they've always said it was more than what it really is over time. But if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. And so the feds were able to crack this, and I'm sure that makes the companies that were being their proprietary information or their software is being stolen from them quite happy. Now, this is kind of on the science medical type front. We've all heard about this deadly bird flu strain that is, you know, there's a big concern out there and that there could be this pandemic where millions of people quite literally could die if something happens where this, this bird flu is able to make the, you know, not only makes a jump from the birds to the people, then if it becomes contagious from people to people, we're going to be in big, big trouble. And, you know, they're very, very highly concerned about this. The Register's got a report that they have confirmed reports of this going on in Turkey, also in Romania. I know that I'm going to be keeping an eye on this. Being we are here in Hawaii, we get a big influx, obviously, of people traveling from Asia. So in Asia is where a lot of the problems are right now. Just, you know, keep your eyes on this one. You know, it almost makes you want to go underground for a little bit. And considering the, you know, how the most people feel that the United States is not prepared for an outbreak of this, it could be really, really bad. So all we can do is just hope that it does not change and, you know, doesn't go into a pandemic and it doesn't transfer from people to people and it just stays from bird to people and it won't be as bad. It's bad enough as it is, but, you know, if it gains ability to pass from person to person, it could spread very, very quickly. Faster than suitable vaccines can be found. So I'm sure you're all watching this and keep your eyes on it. I'm sure many of you have already heard that Yahoo and Microsoft are going to join their instant messenger clients at the hip. So you are there's going to be plans to make their instant messaging services interoperable. And this is a pretty, it's a strategic move. Basically, they're trying to protect their base. And so sometime in 2006, customers of the Yahoo Messenger or MSN Messenger program will be able to exchange instant messages between each other and see the presence in their contacts online without having to use an application like Trillion. So I think it's good. This should have happened a long time ago, but it's to counter some of the moves that have been made in the instant messenger market by Google. So strange bedfellows, that's for sure. Who would have ever thought that that would have happened? Obviously, Google's got some people scared. They really do. All right, those of you that are XP users, you're always looking for ways to speed up your PC. There's a great article over on Tech Yogurt that is 23 ways to speed up your Windows XP installation. So go ahead and go through these, and those that you think that are worthwhile, implement them. Users, beware. I'm not going to say that all of them are perfect, but it looks like most of the ideas are pretty sound. I know most of you have already upgraded your computers from the patch Tuesday, and if you've already updated and you rebooted and you're all safe and you're good to go. For those of you that have not and are Windows 2000 users, you need to do so immediately. There's an exploit code has been discovered for one of the new Microsoft flaws that have been patched. If you have not patched, you need to do so immediately. So Windows 2000 users, you're the most vulnerable. Now, that's not to say that if you're running XP, that you're not. So make sure that if you haven't done a Windows update that you do so, or if you're not on automatic update that you turn that on so that you get these updates on Patch Tuesday so that you can be protected as soon as possible. Here's a great article for those of you that are doing audio recording on Linux. There's a guide to editing audio under Linux that is pretty comprehensive. I found this over on Slashdot. Put the link up in the show notes. So if you're a Linux user and you're doing audio editing or you're doing any type of audio on Linux, you want to check this out. Lots of great stuff there. I actually went through and read it. Lots of techniques. Really, really good. So highly recommend this link. Okay, there's spyware is always in the news. And I use one of the spyware applications I use is Webroot. And I really like the application. It's one of the top-rated programs that are out there. I know there's a variety of them. But spyware is getting more dangerous as distribution sites proliferate. Now, there's a state of the spyware report that Webroot produced. So you can go over there and check that out, what they have to say. But a pretty in-depth article on the growth and expansion and the proliferation of spyware. So again, personally, I do use Webroot. I know some of you use different applications, and some of you use more than one. It's probably advisable. PC World ranked this application pretty high, but the State of Spyware report that they put out is a good read. Link to it in the show notes. I have a fascination about UFOs, and it stems from an experience I had when I was a 13-year-old. And no, I was not abducted, and those of you that have been listening to the show for a long time, probably remember me telling about my UFO experience, and we'll do that maybe on another show down the road. But I caught an article on Wired caught my eye. It says, "Regret is alien to UFO abductees." So I'm sure we've all heard about people that have claimed that they've been abducted. And there's a real good 2-page article that talks about the psychological things that surrounding these types of claims. And the psychologist doesn't necessarily say he believes them. Some very interesting conclusions from the article, so I think you'll enjoy it. Speaking of space news, I'm sure most of you are aware that China has launched their second manned space flight, and they're up there in orbit right now. It's going to last a couple of days, and then they're going to be on their way back here. They're going to be up for 5 days, so hopefully they'll have success with their mission and get back safely. Now, we talked earlier that I was going to tell you about a website that NASA has online that is just simply amazing. It's called Blue Marble Next Generation, and you can find it over at earthobservatory.nasa.gov. I'll have this in the link. They have some of the most incredible pictures of Earth that I have seen in a very long time, and they've been enhanced a little bit because they've been cleaned up, and it's basically Earth with no cloud cover, but just dramatic. I can't say any more about it than that. You need to get over and check that link out, okay? And just, I've got them up as a screensaver, or not screensaver, as a background on my website already. That's how impressive some of these pictures are. Nick Bradbury on his blog is reporting that Feed Demon release candidate number one was put on the street on Tuesday. Have not got that update myself. I'm going to go over there tonight and pick that up. So those of you, the Feed Demon users, make sure you go over there and grab release candidate number one. Over on Chris Perillo's site, a lot of stuff going on that Gotta Be website that I talked about on the last show. People are already building plugins and all kinds of cool tools with it. So I'll put the link up to Chris's website, and you can go over there and check out what people are doing. I'm sure we're going to see lots of little gadgets that are coming available for that. Okay, now, how many of you Apple users have ripped any DVDs? Okay, now, you know, and this is a problem I have, when we travel, my wife going to Japan, she brings back Japanese DVDs. Region 6, where I live in Region 1. Region 6 will not play on Region 1, so how do I watch those DVDs? Well, I found an article, and you can do this with a PC too, there, but I haven't seen too many of these articles out on the Mac. There's a great article, How to Rip DVD Movies to Your iPod. Okay. Need I say more? So the link will be in the show notes, and actually talks about some tools that are out there that you can use. And, you know, I'm not advocating that you violate digital rights management or copyright stuff, but some good instructional stuff on there for you. Along with that, how many of you have been archiving your email on Gmail? That's right, archiving email that's coming to you via maybe Outlook or via your Mac on Gmail. Another good article, found this over on Boing Boing. This one's particularly for the Mac users. I think you'll enjoy being able to back up on Gmail, the stuff that comes in via normal channels. Of course, Reuters kind of is going to close us out tonight, where they talk about how the podcasters are already preparing to launch the video era. And this is, of course, with the new iPods are going to make it easier for many of us to do that. I am not planning to do a video podcast. That is not my plan, or a video cast or video blog or whatever it may be. But Reuters did not, they took it just a day, to say, oh, they're going to do it. It's going to change the world. So a good article by Reuters. You can check that out. All right, we're at 43 minutes. I got to wrap this up. I do want to thank all of you for staying subscribed and being with us here. I've got a lot of stuff that's coming up in the next month. Should be exciting. We're looking forward to bringing you that live event on Saturday, and also the one that's going to be forthcoming at Podcast Expo during the awards ceremony on October, I believe it's 11th. It's going down that night at 5 p.m. Pacific time. So we'll be talking more about that as time goes on. We've got two promos here. One, of course, is for the Podcast Academy from Doug Kay, and one is from a listener of the show that's got a podcast that he wants to promote. As always, though, you can reach me at geeknews@gmail.com. You can Skype me at Geek News Central, Or you can send voicemail to our hotline at 619-342-7365. I've worked about 50% of the Show 100 winners that you've gotten announcements. I should have the rest of them worked tomorrow or Saturday. So those of you that haven't got an email on your prizes or basically a statement saying your stuff is being shipped, I've gotten through about 50 to 75% of those already, and we're going to get the rest done tomorrow. So my butt has been slow to get in gear, but I'm going to promise to get that wrapped up this weekend, and I will have it done. So here's the Podcast Academy promo and one from a podcaster that's out there. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you on Tuesday. Have a great weekend. Be safe out there, okay?
Hello, this is Doug Kay, the executive producer of IT Conversations. Well, we have lots of details to work out yet, but as part of our new not-for-profit project, we'll be launching the Podcast Academy at the Portable Media Expo and Podcasting Conference in November. Most of the Podcast Academy's activities will be online, but we're taking advantage of this most important podcasting event of the year to conduct a full day of face-to-face training. The conference starts officially on Friday, November 11th, but if you show up one day early on November 10th, you'll learn tips, techniques, strategies, and tactics from some of the world's experts in podcasting. The full curriculum and list of instructors will be announced shortly. The cost of attending the all-day Podcast Academy is $50 per person, and that includes refreshments and a box lunch. Attendance is limited to the first 100 people who register. For more information, just point your browser to podcastacademy.org, and I hope to see you at the conference.
Welcome to the If Destroyed Still True.com podcast. I am your host, Flange the Love Robot. Currently we are looking for content, so if you love something and want the world to know, record a 10-second MP3 of you declaring your love and then visit ifdestroyedstilltrue.com to upload it. The first full podcast will be on the 15th of October 2005. See you then. Flange.
Hey, Flange, this is Todd here. Hey, I had a real hard time understanding your demo. If you want some help on that audio, my friend, just send me an email, okay? geeknews@gmail.com. I'll help you out, and we'll get that re-recorded and up on the podcast, because I think the rest of the listeners probably had a hard time hearing it too, but thanks for submitting anyway. Okay, everyone, aloha. We'll see you on Tuesday. Bye-bye.